friends, it's good to be with you again. My name is Ricky James. I'm the senior pastor at First Methodist Church here in Clinton. And whether you're watching from your home online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, I'm so glad you're here. Today is the start of a new series and a new season in the life of the church, a season that we call Lent, L-E-N-T, Lent. It's a period of preparation for 40 days before Easter as we celebrate again the resurrection of Jesus. And over these 40 days, we're going to reflect together in our sermon series called A Jesus-Shaped Life. Because that's what we believe Jesus came for. Not just to free us from death, but to transform us in this life, that we might look like Him. So I'm glad you're here as we begin this journey together. Welcome to worship.
Another mile, just one more mile. I'm tired of walking all alone. Lord, help me smile. Another smile, just one more smile. I know I just can't make it on my own. I never thought I needed help before. I thought that I could get by myself. Now I know I just can't take it anymore. With a humble heart on bending knees, I'm begging you please help me. Come down from your golden throne. Of your tender hand, remove the chains of darkness and let me see, Lord, let me see just where I fit into your master plan. I never thought I needed help before. Oh, I thought that I could get by myself. But now I know I just can't take it anymore. With a humble heart on bended, begging you please help me. Oh, with a humble heart on bended knees, I'm begging you please help me.
Now let us join together in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hey friends, today at our church campus in person, we're having a ministry fair. Our entire gym is full of people and the different ways they volunteer and share. And while you can't be here, I want to say thank you for making all those ministries possible. Every single person in a mission or ministry here through the church is empowered by your generosity. So thank you and keep up the good work. It's your way to participate in their ministry. And you can do that by giving right now, safely and securely online at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can drop your check off here at the church if you're in the neighborhood, or mail it in to 100 Mount Salis Road. And however you give, remember, you are partnering with so many people, and that makes an eternal difference.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm so glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and it's time to spend a few moments with the kids. I brought some Play-Doh with me today. If you were to describe Play-Doh to someone who had never seen it, what would you say? It's soft and smooth and squishy. You can change the shape of it easily. And you can lay it out flat or roll it into a ball shape. You can make all sorts of shapes and objects with it. Some parts of the world don't have Play-Doh, but they do have something similar, and it's called clay. The Bible doesn't talk about Play-Doh, but it does talk about clay. Of course, that would be common material to the people of the Bible times, because they used clay to make lots of useful items, like jugs and pots and dishes. So here's what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. So it's saying here in this verse that we are the clay and God is the potter. Do you know what a potter is? A potter is someone who makes things out of clay. And the potter would take a big chunk of clay, work with it for a bit to soften it up, and then shape it and mold it and change the clay into different objects to make things like pots, dishes, vases, and bowls. This coffee mug is made from clay. So why do you think the Bible compares us to clay? Why doesn't it call us rocks or bricks or something that is already finished being made? I think it's because God is always molding us and changing us, and He wants us to be like His Son Jesus, so He is always in the process of making us to be like Him. He's always teaching us and disciplining us, and He puts people and happenings in our lives that help to mold us. Even when bad things happen to us or to those around us, God is using these bad things and bad times to change us and to shape us. Do you think God will ever be finished with us and will turn into a hardened piece of clay? I don't think so. He'll always be wanting to help us to be growing and changing and having new purposes. I heard this week about a man who is 102 years old, and he said that God must still have a reason for him to be alive, and that God is still working in his life and making him to be more like Jesus. So let's remember that no matter when good things or bad things happen to us, God is using them to shape us and form us because He loves us so much. So let's stay soft and squishy and open to God so He can do His work in our lives. And that's the good news for today. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for being our Father. Help us to be the kind of clay that your hands can work on so that we can be more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Would you join me now in praying to our Lord using the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Every moment of our life, we are being influenced by outside opinions. People and forces that are shaping the way that we think, the way that we relate to people, our values, our decisions. And at every moment, how we view really everything is being influenced by these forces. It can be our friends' opinions, what they think, what they think we should think about something. Of course, whole companies are built on advertising to influence and shape what we're interested in buying or what we think we should buy. Of course, a lot of people have looked at the impact of the internet and how the internet quite physically rewires our brains in terms of how we judge and make decisions about what's true or false, what's good, what's right, what's evil. I'm probably not the first person to ever point out to you that social media, Facebook, Twitter, shape how we relate to one another, how we speak to one another, what we think about other people that we've never ever met but have deep opinions about. Now here's the thing, not all of that is bad. Influences are just that. They're trying to make us think or behave in certain ways for other goals. Sometimes those goals can be good, sometimes they can be not good. But as followers of Jesus, as believers in Him as our Lord, we recognize that there is also another power present and active in this world that seeks to shape and influence us. And that is the power of God's Holy Spirit that lives and dwells within the life of every believer, seeking to shape us and transform us into the image and likeness of Jesus, working to help us look less like the world around us and the way the world treats others, and instead shaping us into the image of Jesus and how He interacts with everyone around us. In the New Testament, Paul writes to a church in Thessalonica, and the letter that I want to read to you today from 1 Thessalonians is Paul's reminder about this very fact that as believers in Jesus, we are being changed, shaped, transformed into His image. I want to read that to you from the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. Hear this word. Finally, brothers and sisters, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you learn from us how you ought to live and to please God, as in fact you are doing, you should do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, Paul uses a big word here, sanctification. And this word simply means holy. To be sanctified means to be holy. The process of sanctification is becoming more holy. Now, don't turn off. Some of you think, well, that leaves me out, right? But as you see in this passage, what Paul is really talking about is that for people who want to follow Jesus, we are invited into a process of transformation. The process of sanctification is becoming more like Jesus. It's as simple as that. So don't worry about the whole holy thing. Just think about it this way. It's the will of God for every one of us to become less like the world and to become more and more like Jesus. Which means we will start to think like Jesus. We will treat other people like Jesus treated them. We will have a relationship with the Father, with God, the way that Jesus had a relationship with the God He called Father. And we will obey all that the Father commands us through Jesus. Things like loving our enemies, praying for them, treating people with love and mercy, turning away from destructive behaviors that tear us down and divide others, and instead look for ways of peace and truth and beauty. This is what Paul means by this idea of sanctification. And what's more, throughout the New Testament, we are told over and over that this process of transformation, this sanctifying work, is not something that we can do on our own. It's not something that is only achievable for the really, really good people. Instead, it is the work of God's Holy Spirit in our lives, slowly, steadily, shaping us into the image of Jesus. The image that we were originally made to bear when God first made humanity. And the image that we distorted through our own walking away. Now, sometimes what we think is that there are some things that I can do to earn God's love or earn God's favor. And I've got good news. There is nothing you can do. God loves you, and there's nothing you can do to change that. But God loves you enough to tell you the truth about yourself, and then to show you the way that you truly can begin to live differently. In this season that we're beginning now, that we call Lent, we have the opportunity to recommit ourselves to this idea of transformation. In just 40 days, we will celebrate once again the great gift and mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And in His death and resurrection, we see the power of God on full display, the power that created the universe, the same power that can now defeat death itself. It is that power, through the Holy Spirit, that is available in our lives. And so as Jesus comes to defeat sin and death, He also comes to defeat sin and death in each of our lives. Because that work of transformation, becoming more and more like Jesus, that means that we actually do give up some of the things that we've become very comfortable with in our life. When we're trying to realize that we're going to be shaped into Jesus' likeness, that means we're not going to look like the world anymore. That means we're going to give some things up. And we have another Christian word for that. It's called sin. Sin is that word that means missing the mark, missing God's will for us, the ways that we fall short of God's best plans for us, the ways that we treat others, hurt others, lie to others, lie to ourselves, the things that we do and the things that we fail to do, all of that encapsulated in the idea of sin. But another way to look at it is sin is the opposite of the image of Jesus. And we were made not for sin. We were made for Jesus. And so in this process of transformation and sanctification, we have the opportunity to be slowly freed from the sinful ways that we find ourselves in. In fact, one of the great gifts and roles of the Holy Spirit is showing us what sin really is. I mean, everybody has an idea of right and wrong and what's good or bad for you, but the Holy Spirit actually speaks for God about what is good and pleasing in God's sight, and what is hurtful and destructive And the Holy Spirit's role in the life of the believer is not only transformation, but information. Helping us to understand the ways of this world which are not good for us. Helping to reveal in our life the sinful behaviors that hold us back from living into the fullness of who God made us to be. Yeah, my wife has a nicer car than I do, and hers has this interesting little feature, and it's called like lane assist. And so if you want to change lanes, it actually will detect if there's a car next to you and warn you, hey, don't move over. It's a neat little feature, and whether or not it helps prevent accidents, I don't know. She's never had one, so there we go. In many ways, the Holy Spirit can be a warning signal for us. In our life, there are going to be a lot of gray areas. Am I doing the right thing? Is this really what God wants for me? This seems like I shouldn't do it, but is it a sin or not? Should I tell the whole truth in this moment? Should I outright lie to protect myself? All these decision points in our life, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to help us understand and to clarify and even to warn us about behaviors which will lead us down paths away from God. And so in this season, in this time that we call Lent, we engage in a 40-day time of reflection in which we ask the Spirit of God once again to come and dwell within our lives. And through things like intentional prayer or fasting, whether it's fasting from some object, some practice, maybe fasting from social media for a couple of weeks, fasting from gossiping, fasting from engaging in those behaviors which we find ourselves repeating over and over and which we know are not good for us, or intentionally committing ourselves in the season of Lent to some times of prayer, some times of reflection, some silence even. All of this are ways that we give space in this season for God's Spirit to enter into our lives and to do that work of sanctification, that work of transformation, where slowly but surely we are less shaped by the ways of this world and more shaped into the image of Jesus, the image that we were made to bear. In 40 days, we will gather on Easter and celebrate and rejoice that Jesus has defeated death and that we can live forever with Him. But there's even better news. And that's right now. We can begin to live like Jesus. To love, to forgive, and to live in a way of life that leads to abundant and eternal living. And as Paul reminds us, this is God's will for you. This is what you were made for. Amen. Well, friends, as we begin this journey of Lent, these 40 days that lead to the cross of Jesus and to the Easter that lies beyond, my prayer is that you will allow God's Spirit to work within you, making you more and more into the image of His Son, our Savior, Jesus. Be blessed, my friends.